Hello and welcome to Best Comics Ever, presented by Comic Book Herald. I'm your host, Dave Busing, and today we are doing our final deep dive into Thanos Month for the month of May 2018 by ranking all of the Thanos comics that we've read over the past month on Comic Book Herald's Best Comics Ever, Best Comics of All Time list. The list is currently 370 plus comics deep, from Watchmen to Wanted, and today we'll be taking a look at how to factor in Thanos comics onto the list. If you've been paying attention at home, you know that there is a great Thanos reading order as well as Marvel Cosmic reading order on comicbookherald.com. You can find those links in the show notes as well as a link to the ultimate list of all 300 plus, approaching now 400 comics at comicbookherald.com/best comics of all time with a hyphen between best comics of all time. Without further ado, I'm going to dive right into this one, and I'm kicking things off by sorting the Thanos stories that we've read this month against additional comics that I've also read this month that I need to rank on my list as well. So I'm just going to talk through my process and my thinking as I go. Now, with the Thanos stories, I did rank approximately all of these, as we talked about a little bit last time with the Marvel Cosmic events. I did a mega list over on CBR.com of the 26 most important cosmic Marvel events of all time. I included a link to that in the show notes as well. So I kind of know where I stand on the Thanos-specific stories. For example, I know I like Thanos War, Warlock and the Avengers against Thanos, a little bit more than the life of Captain Marvel. Thanos is kind of starting point in the Jim Starlin cosmic 70s era. But now I've got to put those up against things like X-Men Messiah Complex, which I reread recently as part of refamiliarizing myself with some of Cable's involvement historically as he made his debut in the cinematic universes in Deadpool 2. So, all right, here we go. Let's just take a list again. I've got 18 stories total to rank here, just to sort before I throw into the mega list. So I'm going to say I like Thanos War and Life of Captain Marvel more than X-Men Messiah Complex. I would probably read Messiah Complex first over, let's say, the Life of Captain Marvel, but it has also had a pretty good legacy. So for those of you that aren't familiar, Messiah Complex is a X-Men event in the 2007-2008 range, in which essentially post-House of M event, mutants were hard to come by, let's just say, and they were looking for some sort of salvation or sign that the mutant genome would be restored to its full potency. And that's kind of where Messiah Complex kicks off. It's a huge, sprawling X-Men event. If you like X-Men comics, it honestly sets the stage for the X-Men universe from about 2007 through, I mean, really Avengers vs. X-Men, which was an event that came out in 2012, right before Marvel Now. It's a very important event. It's very well done. The core event issues are written by Ed Brubaker, but there's a whole cast of characters. It spans tie-ins with series like Peter David writing X-Factor. The thing's all over the place, and it actually, again, this isn't supposed to be a Messiah Complex pod, but it does an amazing job with crossovers that actually very effectively tie in. So I'm going to put that above Infinity War, which is a Thanos story that I do enjoy. I've got Scarlet Witch Volume 1 here, the Marvel Now series written by James Robinson, had covers by David Aja. That's going to go below Infinity War for me. That brings us now to Captain America with the Bucky focus as Cap. It is Ed Brubaker writing and Butch Guici, I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, on art duties. So that's kind of the tail end, towards the tail end of Brubaker's time on Cap, and certainly the time where Bucky is starring in the role of Captain America. At this point in the comic, Steve Rogers and Bucky are both sort of roaming around the Marvel Universe, and that's definitely better than Scarlet Witch. These issues in particular, there's a series where Bucky essentially goes on trial to answer for his crimes as the Winter Soldier, and it winds up with him, I don't want to spoil anything, but it basically puts him to task for his crimes, which is kind of what Civil War did in the MCU film, except in a very small version. Brubaker goes much deeper on it. I'm going to say I like these issues more than Infinity War, but not as much as X-Men Messiah Complex. So we're going to move Cap up there, that particular section. That brings us to Lazarus. Okay, I need to revise my ranking on Lazarus, having caught up. Lazarus is a series written by Greg Rucka with art by Michael Lark, and it's published by Image Comics, and it is phenomenal. If you're not familiar with Lazarus, it's a relatively easy binge to catch up. I think it's like maybe 30 issues tops at this point. The majority of the trades are available on Hoopla Digital, if you can access that. Otherwise, some of them might be on Comixology Unlimited, or certainly you can check out purchasing the image or the issues at your LCS or through Image's own website. Fantastic comic. Astoundingly prescient. I mean, it's a future America or a future global landscape that is increasingly easy to picture in some horrifying ways. It's not post-apocalyptic or anything like that. It's just, here's how wealth and power will shape the globe, and here's sort of the, it's a very political in the sense of we've got these families sort of manifesting and holding their own power against each other, and that's not doing it justice at all the way I'm describing it, but a very cool series. Highly recommend checking it out. So Lazarus, we're just going to have to revise wherever I have it ranked on here. Let's go to the next new one, Black Bolt, Marvel comic series that just came out, written by Saladin Ahmed and drawn by Christian Ward. Incredible art on this series. I think this is immediately going to go to the top of my list, and we're going to put that above everything we have ranked so far. That's going to bring us to DC's Milk Wars. This was a crossover between the Young Animal line. So that's the Gerard Way, formerly of My Chemical Romance. He is curating, has been curating a line of comics for DC called Young Animal. They are artistic and weird and strange. This is where you'll find Doom Patrol, Shade the Changing Girl, Kate Carson Has a Cybernetic Eye. This is the first time where in the DC Rebirth universe where these characters have crossed over with members of, for example, the Justice League of America. It's weird, it's fun, it's way more for Young Animal fans than it is for DC Comics fans. I'm gonna put it's better than Scarlet Witch. Infinity War's giving me trouble. I don't think it's better than Infinity War. I'm gonna put Milk Wars right above Scarlet Witch and below Infinity War, which brings us now to Infinity Crusade. As I've stated a few times, my least favorite of the trilogy. I think I'm going to put that at the bottom of the list so far. And again, these are all just the comics I've read, getting them sorted so I can put them on the big list. Now we've got Cable, number 1 to number 10, written by Dwayne Swierczynski. So this is the series, a Cable ongoing, that followed Messiah Complex. And effectively what happened was, after the events of Messiah Complex, Cable finds himself trapped in time with a shockingly parental responsibility. In the avoidance of any spoilers, it's very good. It's my favorite Cable comics by far. It's, by and large, one of the main reasons I like the character and was somewhat disappointed with the Josh Brolin incarnation in Deadpool 2. How high is it going to go on here? I think Cable 1 through 10, I'd rather read than Infinity War. Would I rather read than the Cap Bucky issues? That's tough. I think I would, actually. I don't know that I like the art better than Butch Guisi's, but I do like Cable 1 through 10 better as an ongoing. So we're going to put that under X-Men Messiah Complex, above the Captain America number 601 through 616. That now brings us to Uncanny X-Men Divided We Stand. This is written by Matt Fraction with art by Terry Dodson. This is issue, I think, 500 approximately to 504, or right in that range. These are decent but kind of middle of the road X-Men comics. These aren't going to go too high on here, I would say. This is when the X-Men moved to the San Francisco area, and again, it's like kind of that 2008 to 2012 range. It's a very interesting time period for the X-Men, and it's a lot of fun to read if you're an X-Men fan. I like it more than Scarlet Witch. I don't know that it's better than Milk Wars. That's got some Akko art and layouts that are absolutely bonkers and fun just to see. That takes us now to the next read this month. And again, this is just every comic series that I've completed in the month of May, Han Solo. This is the Star Wars era Marvel miniseries, 5 issues, written by Marjorie Liu and drawn by Mark Brooks, and of course timely with the Han Solo movie now in theaters. This comic's kind of disappointing. I love Liu's writing. Her Black Widow story, The Name of the Rose, is my favorite Black Widow comic of all time. It's one of my favorite Marvel stories of the 2000s. Monstrous, that she's writing right now, is an incredible series coming out from Image Comics. And this Han Solo book is fine. It's just fine, really. It's a cool concept. Basically, it's Han running a galactic race. He enters kind of on behalf of the rebellion. You know, Leia sort of ropes him into it despite his roguish desire to be done with the rebellion. I'd rather read Han Solo again than Infinity Crusade just because it's so unwieldy. I don't think it's more interesting, though. Infinity Crusade's definitely more interesting, so I'm going to put Han at the bottom, actually. That takes us to Batman the White Knight, a series I just finished, that really just finished coming out in the past few weeks. 8-issue limited series written by Sean Murphy, with art by Murphy and coloring by Matt Hollingsworth. Batman White Knight is very good. I've written about this in a more extensive review on Patreon. Those of you who are Patreon supporters of Comic Book Herald can check out. I did not expect to like this series, and definitely not to love it. The only reason I purchased it is because I'm a huge fan of Sean Murphy's art. Punk Rock Jesus, it's one of my top 20 comics of all time. That's a Murphy creator-owned series that he wrote and drew. He is an extraordinary talent in comics right now. Him doing his own take on the Gotham universe, drawing elements from the 89 Burton Batman, as well as Batman the Animated Series. Those are sort of the core touch points for this version of Gotham. If you're looking for, you know, a continuation of modern continuity, look elsewhere. That's not what this is. But, you know, it's not a spoiler to say, you know, this is a, okay, Joker's the White Knight, what does that look like kind of story. And honestly, I've seen a lot of, oh, Joker's sane, or oh, Joker's maybe trying to be a good guy now stories, and this one does it better than I expected, by a lot, actually. I definitely recommend checking it out. I don't want to say too much more for fear of spoilers. I'd rather read White Knight than Infinity War. I think it's probably better. Is it better than Messiah Complex? That's tricky. Certainly shorter and more to the point. I don't know that that makes it better. I'm going to put it underneath Cable and above the Brubaker Captain America Bucky stretch from 601 to 616. I could see that changing, though. That brings us now finally, we have 3 left to go. Getting there. Thanos, the Infinity Siblings. Now, this one I actually didn't rank in my cosmic rankings because this is part of the new original graphic novels that Jim Starlin has been writing for Marvel since 2013. He did one trilogy that started with the Infinity Relativity, I believe, and ran through the Infinity Finale, which, oddly enough, was not the finale. There's another trilogy coming out now. Starlin writing, art by Alan Davis. Starts off with Thanos, the Infinity Siblings. We know now, because of very public disputes with Marvel Comics, that this will be the last trilogy and probably the last time Starlin ever writes anything for Marvel. Infinity Siblings is interesting. It's not amazing. It's not great. If you like Starlin writing Thanos, you'll like this comic, is what I tend to find. It does overlap in is sort of interesting but notable ways with the arc written by Donny Cates called Thanos Wins that is getting a lot of publicity and a lot of critical acclaim right now. I haven't finished that arc, so I'm not going to rank that one separately, but Infinity Siblings, I would say I like it more than Uncanny X-Men Divided We Stand. I don't like it more than Infinity War. It's not as good as Milk Wars either, honestly. It's kind of just, if you like Starlin doing Thanos, check this thing out. But, you know, he doesn't have his fastball, necessarily. He's done what he's going to do. If you like that, it's great. But it is, you know, it's kind of time for some new eyes and new writing on Thanos, I believe. Which brings us to what got Starlin the reputation that he has, Infinity Gauntlet. I'm going to have to rank this above Thanos War as my favorite Thanos story on this list. Do I like it more than Black Bolt and Amidon Ward? Ooh, that's a tough one. There's definitely a lot of recency bias here that makes me think I don't. I mean, if I had to say which one of these am I going to read again, the answer is Black Bolt. But if I'm going which one's more important, it's definitely Infinity Gauntlet. Ooh, that's tough. I'm going to keep Black Bolt above Infinity Gauntlet, and then I have Rebirth of Thanos and Thanos Quest right below that, and those will all go above Infinity War. That's just a... Black Bolt is so good, and it looks so amazing. Christian Ward's art is incredible. Nothing against, of course, George Perez or Ron Lim or Jim Starlin, because those are iconic classic comics, but I gotta go with Black Bolt on that one. So, there you have it. That's me just sorting the picks. They're going to go in now the best comics of all time list. If you want to see where I ultimately place these, check out the show notes for the link to comicbookherald.com/thebestcomicsofalltime. I'm going to go ahead and rank those. You've been listening to Best Comics Ever. I'm Dave. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Music for Best Comics Ever is written and produced by Anthony Weiss. You can go to AnthonyWeiss, WEIS.com. to check out more of his music. You can also go to patreon.com/comicbookherald to find out how to support the website, the podcast, and everything I'm doing here at Comic Book Herald. Thanks, of course, to all our patrons who have made Best Comics Ever possible, now concluding 2 months and excitingly entering a third here in June. So we'll be back in June with an all-new topic. I haven't quite decided what it's going to be. We're either going to be going deep on the Brian Michael Bendis era at Marvel, which has recently concluded after 18 years of a lot of very influential and informative comics, or I'll be taking a look at, it's now 2 years of DC Rebirth. And we might go deep on what 2 years of DC Rebirth has looked like. In particular, what has happened in year two that separates it from the New 52, for example, which by year two had by and large fallen apart. So, again, this is Best Comics Ever. Thanks for listening. And as always, enjoy the comics.